Item two, please.
Item two, from the Office of the Sheriff, providing an update on Airport Patrol and Park Patrol targeted enforcement unit activities. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Hello, Inspector Bailey.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Inspector Edward Bailey with the Office of the Sheriff. I'm joined at table today by Sergeant Daniel Ditburner. Sergeant Ditburner has been the field supervisor and the operational head of the targeted enforcement unit throughout this summer. And as this is our third opportunity to give a quarterly update to this committee and we're closing out the summer months, I thought it was prudent to have the sergeant come before you today because we're going to start to see now that ramping down of the park's usage as we get into fall and the weather turns colder. So if you had particular questions related to specific parks, he might be able to answer them. His knowledge is second to none for what's been going on in your parks this last year. Mr. Chairman, this is an information report. It's our third time coming before you. I had the opportunity in this report to combine the two and do airport and parks together, which is the way we did it in the first quarter, and I was appreciative from that. So I thought I might go through the airport portion first, and then if you wanted to break and ask about airport questions, and then we'd move on to the park section. Is that acceptable?
That's fine. I scheduled the item for members because I thought, you know, there's a tie-in to some of the issues we're dealing with in budget, and I thought it was time for another update. So that's the spirit of the update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the airport, we open with the staffing numbers. Of course, the committee knows that our goal is to keep the airport positions filled because they're tax levy neutral. So our goal is to, when we have a position open through something like a retirement, to try to get the transfer of the deputy sheriffs into that position as soon as possible to max out that tax levy offset. And also, of course, the needs of the airport. Now, we can use staff on overtime to fill the operational needs, but that doesn't help the bottom line of the budget very much. In the last quarter, we have had three deputies retire out of the airport division. So there have been moments that our line staffing has been down. We're in a position, and I'm not here to bemoan the budget, we're still in a position when a deputy sheriff retires that position is abolished upon vacancy. We're not hiring deputy sheriffs yet, so that forces us to pull from some other operational area if we want to transfer a permanent party, military term, but a permanent asset into that airport division. We'll generally pull from our somewhere else in our police services bureau. For many years, as the committee knows, we had the opportunity to pull from detention and hire a correctional officer. And I'd just like to remind the committees for the first year, that's over. The deputy sheriffs are out of the detention facility, and that is just a luxury that we've lost. We were always going to lose that, but we've reached that point. In the report, I make mention of the fact of being down one sergeant rank at the facility. However, since I created the document, we have actually tacked temporary appointment to a higher classification, a deputy sheriff up to the position of sergeant, so we are fully staffed in the sergeant's rank out at the airport now. We're back up to six. The biggest issue we talked about, Mr. Chairman, in relation to the airport in both of the first two quarterly reports were incidents of vehicle break-ins from the employee lot, but also reaching into the lots that our citizens use in parking out there. And we had a strategy to try to defeat that, and whether that strategy was successful or not, I am happy to report that in the last quarter we've had no further instance of vehicle break-ins. Those vehicle break-ins generally can constitute multiple different crimes. You have the damage to the vehicle, criminal damage to property, but if they then also enter into the vehicle and steal from the interior of the vehicle, you can also end up with those crimes, entry into a locked vehicle and theft. So not having those incidences in the last quarter, which we hope are related to our deployment, is certainly a benefit to us to be able to report out. So that we held steady at a number that I don't like, but we held steady at nine since our last report out in June. The other primary crime number you see at the airport that might cause you concern as you look at the data that we provided is a number regarding stolen vehicles. And I want to assure the committee that we're not talking about vehicles being stolen from the parking garages. We investigate vehicle theft stemming from the rental agencies that work at the airport. We have had incidences because You have, as everybody in this committee knows, when you come in and turn in a rental vehicle, there's oftentimes periods in which the vehicle is sitting there, perhaps with the engine running, perhaps with keys in it. They're constantly jockeying vehicles and moving them around. We have had instances of actual vehicle thefts from that process, but that's been de minimis this year. The majority of the cases that you see cited are actually failure to return vehicle under a rental contract. So a party comes in, rents a vehicle, agrees to a five-day period, doesn't return the vehicle. The rental agency lets that go for a while longer based on their internal policy, but there's a point where it stops being, hey, he hasn't come back yet, let's charge his credit card, and it becomes, hey, one of our vehicles has been stolen. And when that happens, they call the airport deputies. They'll come out, take a report, turn it over to the Detective Bureau, and then we investigate that as a vehicle theft case. So what you see on that number is stolen vehicle thefts are coming out of the rental. The other primary issue you'll see on your on the data relates to carrying concealed weapon, weapons crimes occurring at the airport, which is interesting. You'll see some CCW numbers. CCW numbers are for parties that are at the airport in possession of a weapon and not holding a carry permit issued by the state of Wisconsin. Our policy, if a person does have a carry permit and has a weapon at the airport, it's no longer a CCW. If they're at the checkpoint with the weapon, it can be handled as a county citation for presenting a weapon in an unauthorized area, which sounds minimal, except that that's a county citation that holds a penalty of $767. So that is a serious citation. And the party is also then, as NBA legend and Celtic Bill Russell found out in Seattle last week, you also become, you fall into the purview of TSA's civil penalties that they can levy, and those penalties are in the thousands of dollars. But when we're called to a checkpoint for a weapon that's gone through, for example, somebody's left a weapon in a carry-on bag or in a briefcase, part of our process is to determine if they are licensed permit holders, and if they are, we handle it as a non-criminal county forfeiture matter. If they're not permitted, then we'll make the arrest for carrying concealed weapon as a state charge. So you'll see some of those numbers. The other issue in closing out my initial comments on the airport is that the overtime chart of the money that's being expended is, as you'll see from sort of the tracking line, tracking consistently and well under our 2012 levels. And primarily because of that fact, we've expended just a little under 70% of 2013's budget year to date. So while the committee may well be aware that the sheriff's office is projecting a deficit in this year, the airport is not contributing to that deficit, and we're handling our budget well out at that division. Those are sort of the prepared comments. I'd be happy to take questions on the airport from the committee, sir.
Supervisor Johnson.
I don't quite understand, Inspector. $767 county citation would be levied so that that fine could be made available to that particular person. Now, this is with people who do not have permits?
That's for somebody who presents, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Supervisor, that's for somebody who presents a weapon at the airport grounds. The airport grounds in their totality are a prohibited area, but in particularly once they get to that TSA screening checkpoint, because when the weapon shows up on the monitor at the checkpoint, it's an exciting moment for the checkpoint operators, and of course it causes a disruption to airport operations while you have the law enforcement response. But that $767 forfeiture, that county ordinance tag, is for people who have a firearm but hold a carry permit. Then we will not make the misdemeanor arrest for carrying concealed weapon and book them down and make them post bail and take it to the district attorney for charging.
They
have the option to pay for the forfeiture, and we handle it as a county ordinance matter. We take possession of the firearm, issue the citation, they can go on their way with their travels. That's up to them in the airport. And they can pick up the weapon on their way back through, and we'll issue them a receipt for it and hold it at our airport division substation. If they don't have a permit, then they're arrested. Then they're summarily arrested for the misdemeanor of carrying a concealed weapon, taken to the Milwaukee County Jail, booked in. they can post bail, of course, and then we refer the matter to the district attorney for charging.
So on the chart, 10 people carrying concealed weapon, and then two that were treated with the ordinance violation.
Yes, sir.
And and then you said that as Mr. Russell was found to be nicked last week, thousands of dollars could be levied for what?
The TSA has separate law enforcement authority on the federal level to issue civil penalties for presenting a weapon in an airport, and those range in the high thousands of dollars. And we're talking between $3,000 and $7,000. I'm less familiar with that. I think the fines increase on multiple occurrences, so the initial occurrence, but it's still roughly three times what we do as a civil forfeiture at the county level.
Sure. Supervisor Borkowski.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor Johnson, I think Mr. Russell was fined for being a former Boston Celtic.
Mr. Chairman, I think he was fined for having 11 championships. I think that some Lakers or some Supersonics fans were upset.
Any other questions on the airport? All right. Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking at the chart in regards to overtime. I see that you have a budget amount of $382,000, and the actual amount is $530,000. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, sir. That can be in the relation of airport deputy sheriffs working overtime in other divisions. We square that up at the end of the year. But that's not airport overtime being worked at the airport division. It's overtime being worked by an airport employee, maybe the training academy, maybe out on patrol, but working overtime in some other division. At the end of the year, we'll square that up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I also noticed that there were 39 OWI charges at the airport. Can you kind of tell us what that trend is about, or what you foresee this is, what is ongoing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, there's really two instances of OWI that airport are involved in. When the sheriff first got here, the airport deputies tended to get a little too rangy, work their way down Layton Avenue into Cudahy, and really get well off the footprint of the airport. And the sheriff didn't like that. He saw that as mission creep anyway. And certainly after the terrorist attacks of September 11th and the fact that they used aircrafts to target us, that really focused him and, by extension, focused the airport deputies on what the mission they were trying to accomplish out there is. Having said that, there is this other mission of trying to help people who use our airport not get killed. So one of the things we do is we allow them the latitude to run OWI enforcement on the freeway spur that runs off of 94, which is the airport freeway spur, on Howell Avenue, and along Layton Avenue, but adjacent to the airport proper. So you're going to get some OWIs from our airport staff in those three areas. Other OWIs you may see is if we they'll move out to the freeway to back up another squad if a squad's involved in OWI, and we will reassign airport assets in inclement weather emergencies. We'll let them work in OWI enforcement, task force operations, if it doesn't disrupt what's going on at the airport. So they'll sort of also have some additional OWI numbers. But that's probably a relationship of one-third to two-thirds. Two-thirds of the OWIs you're seeing are occurring either on the airport spur, the Mitchell spur, or on Howell and Layton Avenue, maybe about one-third out on the freeway proper.
Is it possible you can provide the committee with a analysis of where the charges were issued? Can you show us exactly at what locations?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor, that's one of the easiest asks we get because we have plotting software that will plot it on a map. So I can have those OWIs plotted out, start out on a map, and I'll have it to the committee chair probably this afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll distribute that then. Other questions on airport patrol? If not, you continue on parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In parks, you'll see a number that 4,365 hours, and that number may give pause, so I'd like to take the time to explain it. What that number is it's made up of a lot of 5 and 10 and 20-minute increments. We use a computer dispatch system, and we have our TEU or park squads call into dispatch whenever they enter a park, either in relation to a call for service, so they've been dispatched there, or when they're doing their regular high-visibility uniform patrolling and they enter into a park. So when you see that 4,365 hours number, that's a totality of time spent by a TEU squad, boots on the ground, to use a trite phrase, in a county park. It's not inclusive of time moving between parks. It's not inclusive of time at the district attorney's office charging cases or in court testifying on cases. Those are hours made up of minutes spent in the parks by your officers, unassigned patrolling or calls for service. Now, you do understand that because those are uniformed assets moving around this county in marked squads, they do often become involved in some type of law enforcement action as they move between the parks. They can't move blindly like a detective squad through the area. So if they're moving between two county parks and they engage in some traffic enforcement, or they get involved in an OWI enforcement, or they stop to help a disabled vehicle and you end up with somebody with warrants in the vehicle, they will take the law enforcement action. But we instruct, and the sergeant, I probably won't allow him to because I'm having so much fun, but he instructs his deputies on a daily basis to stay focused on the mission in the parks and not to get diverged into what's going on as you're moving between the parks, because that is their primary focus. You also see a metric that we began tracking this year, because I know it's an important metric to county supervisors, which is attendance at neighborhood group or park watch meetings. We have been performing those since we started this initiative several years ago, but we never tracked it as a metric. And again, in our dispatch log, we've now created that, and we'll have officers call in when they go to those public events. And as a result, I can report out with certainty that our TEU squads have made appearances at 32 neighborhood group meetings in relation to their duties in the parks this summer. When it comes to outputs and crimes, you'll see that the Part 1 crimes, or what Wisconsin would consider to be a more serious crime, some type of a crime of violence or injury, are up. We had 118 calls for service for Part 1 crimes in relation to the parks this year, but I would caution the committee that that's based more on the consistency of efforts in responding to them as opposed to actual crime. The crime in the parks this year is down. It's way down, and I'll focus my comments on that in a moment. But that number being up is more related to our consistent efforts in 13, especially coming out of 2012. The real story is the lack of serious crime and violent crime that we experienced in the parks this year. We did have 197 summary arrests in the parks this year. That is about a 200% increase over 2012, when we were, as I previously reported, way understaffed in our efforts in parks. Generally, those summary arrests were quality of life issues, disorderly conduct, criminal damage to property, loitering, entry into locked vehicles. They weren't violent crimes or crimes of injury. We did have some serious crime summary arrests this year: battery, reckless endangering safety, some firearms, and I've given you a summary of sort of the stories of several of the more critical crimes that we responded to just in the last quarter. I narrowed it to the period since I reported out in July, so you would have an understanding of some of the more serious crimes that we have handled. But in that category, I would characterize it as six felon in possession of firearm arrests and eight recklessly endangering safety arrests as the more serious crimes that we've handled in the parks. When we look at the budget and how we're expending the money, similar to the airport, we have expended a little higher number, 84% of our 2013 budget year to date. And we are confident that we're going to bring the TEU and parks and operations in on budget, because now that we've gotten into October, of course, the parks usage is down. So what do we do with TEU as we get into the fall? Well, you know, we ask them to turn their attention to your transit system. We also use them for task force operations, for example, as we get next week into Halloween. I'm sure the committee is aware that we run a sex offender compliance sweep that we have dubbed Operation Trick or Treat, because everything needs to have a name, and we'll use TEU resources in that. They're also starting to engage cooperatively with the Milwaukee Police Department in some prostitution and John abatement on the south side of the city, and we're starting to ramp that up a little bit. And with the kids back in school, as I said, and on those county buses, particularly in the afternoons when you start to ramp up the temperature of those county buses, when those kids get released at the end of the day, that's going to become a main focus for the next month or two, because the sheriff's general philosophy regarding that is you want to hit it early and set a tone, and then you can live off the tone that you've set. And the failure to do that forces you to chase your tail for the remainder of the school year. So I want to assure the committee that while the TEU and Parks units will be on your freeway system in severe inclement weather events, our goal is not to just rotate them away from your Parks and Transit system and use them up on the freeway. We want to keep using them in the manner in which you've asked us to use them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and of course we'll be happy to take any questions.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Bailey, let me make sure that I heard this correctly.
Sure.
When a sheriff deputy is going from park to park, they're obviously going through, city property, municipal property, whatever. I don't think you meant that. You know, if one of our sheriff deputies sees a crime in progress, on a street, and even though they're parts of the Parks Patrol, I am assuming that, as sworn law enforcers, that they will be doing the job that our constituents expect.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor, you understood that exactly correctly, and I hope, but I'll give myself the opportunity to restate it. That's exactly correct. These are uniformed officers operating marked squads, which means if they come across certainly a crime in progress, they're going to take immediate police action. But at disabled motorists, things that aren't necessarily rising to the level of crime in progress, they still don't enjoy the privileges of driving by and say, well, I have to get to the park. They have to stop and render aid. Now, if it's in a municipality, they would look for the opportunity, once they've handled the initial police action, to turn it over to the municipality to handle the arrest or the follow-up investigation. But we don't force that on the municipalities. One of the principles in law enforcement is you find it, you keep it. Now, we have a very good cooperative relationship with certainly the Milwaukee Police Department. They do a lot for us. But we have a good relationship, I think, with all the agencies. I might let you speak to that. We'll call their dispatch center, see if they have a squad available, and generally the squads will come and relieve us and let us get back in service on parks. If there's any type of disruption within that transfer, that's when guys like Sergeant Dipperner get involved, talk directly to their sergeants. And I've found in my career that cops and sergeants work things out on the street beautifully. It's really when captains and higher get involved that stuff gets messed up.
That upper brass, huh?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Uh-huh. Thank you for the clarification. Mr. Chairman, at least I'm assuming that all of us got a memo dated yesterday from the county executive talking about the Milwaukee County Parks Patrol Plan. And it's about a four-page memo that, in their eyes, the exec's office is trying to justify shipping out a majority of this work to the city of Milwaukee and then offering it to other municipalities. Inspector Bailey, have you seen this?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I have not.
I will just say personally, I am disappointed in the county executive and his staff for doing this. We talk about a working relationship. I will tell you, there's a line. It says, why are you proposing this again? And the answer is, supervisors are seeing a proposal to improve effectiveness of Milwaukee County's Parks Patrol for the second time because public safety is just too important to not take seriously. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's, I don't know if, that kind of inflammatory words needs to be, mentioned. I don't know if this is, tit for tat as far as, the sheriff did his thing, now I got to do my thing. So I will also tell you that I would like to know which four municipal departments have expressed an interest.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I'm unaware of any.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at Dr. Colton.
Dr. Colton, if you're able to provide that information.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. The four municipalities are West Allis, Wauwatosa, Shorewood, and Whitefish Bay. And if I could add a couple more comments.
Sure.
As I was reading through the Sheriff's Parks Patrol report that's in front of you today, he states on page 5, if the Sheriff's position, it is the Sheriff's position that the 2012 adopted budget and time frame left him without the ability to deploy in the both parks and transit system. And then below he says he has spent year-to-date 4,365 straight time hours, which is almost the same number as in 2012 when he said he was basically not patrolling the parks. So to me, this is telling us that there's been no increase over last year in straight time hours. And then if you look on page 8, where the sheriff gives a chart of his overtime use within parks, there's no context given here, but I tried to calculate how many hours this is, and it totals to about 11,000 hours, which is about $500,000 of overtime if you use the average deputy salary. In the next page, you find that the sheriff's reporting that he's actually only spent $300,000 in overtime. So somewhere the numbers aren't adding up, and we don't have a very clear picture of how much money is actually being spent on Parks Patrol. We know that in terms of straight time hours, 4,000 hours, that's about 3 deputy positions worth of time. He's budgeted for 25. So we really don't have a clear understanding of where the other deputy sheriffs, the other 22, are spending their time.
I'm curious. This memo is dated the 23rd. The agenda for judiciary has been out for a week, so you know that the sheriff's department, the sheriff's office, was going to make a presentation. Wouldn't it have been fair to, if you were going to share this with us, to share this with them? I mean, is this kind of a blindside?
The chairman and supervisors, the memo was sent to provide our rationale for putting forth the proposal again. It's just meant to provide the data that we're looking at and how we are thinking about it.
So it was coincidental that we had this on the agenda for today.
I think the memo was really in the context of the budget discussion. This item was scheduled also in the context of the budget discussion by me. So I...
Okay, still have the floor. It says the Milwaukee Police Department is already patrolling the parks as part of their routine neighborhood patrol. You can say the same thing about all of the municipalities, okay? So now we're going to give them $10,000 to do that. We're going to give the city of Milwaukee $960,000. I will just say for myself, I have about a third of my district is in the city of Milwaukee, and my Milwaukee constituents have called me and said that they are very disappointed in the city of Milwaukee's police department as far as their response to crimes in the city. And for us to allow the city of Milwaukee to take care of situations in our county parks, I think it just exacerbates the situation. I guess the bottom line is that, you know what, I'm not going to go there, Mr. Chairman, I'm done.
Okay. Supervisor Rainey.
I really wish I could have heard the rest of your rant.
Riza, I just want to make sure I'm understanding your math correctly. You're saying that based on your formula, there's only 3 deputies patrolling all of our county parks right now?
According to the sheriff's report, yes.
According to the sheriff's report, only 3 deputies patrol our parks.
Yep, so 4,365 hours, that's almost nothing. That's a few deputies worth of time in the 9 months.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure I understood that correctly.
Mr. Chair? Were you done?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I think it's important to underscore what my colleague, Supervisor Barkowski, has indicated. It was my experience as a Milwaukee police officer that any parks within our district were part of what we were responsible for patrolling. And I assume that the same is true of all suburban communities, Greenfield, Greendale, wherever. If there's a park in their community, it's their responsibility. The concept of paying them again to patrol what they're already being paid to patrol is quite beyond me, and was beyond me last time this was introduced. And it's still the rationale that's been presented doesn't address that question to my mind. So this just seems to me to be, I don't know what kind of game's going on here, but I find little ground to increase expenditures and pay a second time for something that's already been covered.
Is there a question? Or that was just a comment.
Well, I really don't have a, I mean, the question is, where is the answer to that question, I guess?
Okay. Dr. Coleman.
Chairman, supervisors, I just want to make clear that the $10,000 that we're paying to municipalities who are interested, and again, this is only for municipalities who think this will be of benefit to them, $10,000 is going only for costs related to data collection and reporting back to the county on the patrols they're doing. The $10,000 is not for the actual patrol. The city of Milwaukee is getting extra money for patrolling the parks because of the sheer number of parks in the city of Milwaukee. The number of special events greatly exceeds that of the municipality.
But the principle is that there is a disparate treatment of suburban versus municipal city of Milwaukee parks. We're willing to pay Milwaukee, and this opens the door, it seems to me, to paying anyone who asks, because we've set the precedent. And it seems to me a bit of folly.
Chairman, supervisors, part of the issue is Milwaukee parks are used at a much greater level than any suburban parks, and suburban residents come to the city of Milwaukee to use the parks for special events and other reasons. So the burden on the Milwaukee Police Department is much greater than on any other municipality.
Okay. We will continue to debate this for sure. Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't going to say anything until I left, because that when you look at where the county parks are, it's the, they call it the necklace around Milwaukee County. And to say that somehow that the majority of events take place within the city of Milwaukee boundaries, I just find that hard to believe without some type of documentation in front of us, because the bulk of the parkland and parkways that we have run through quite a bit of our suburban areas. I mean, you look at the size of Whitnall Park alone is some 400 acres of parkland, and you think of all of the activities that go on in that area. You know, we have Bender Park, 300 acres, and a boat launch and all these kind of things. So I think if you're going to make these kind of statements, we're going to need to see some kind of numbers that justify that, because there's 142 parks in Milwaukee County, and there's lots of activities taking place all over the place. So, and just this point on patrolling, the municipalities do this function because it's in their best interest currently. And that my district, which consists of half of the city of Milwaukee and the other half is the city of West Dallas, that they see the Sheriff's Department as another layer of protection on top of that. And they see what, by eliminating or reducing the park patrol, you're removing a layer of protection in our park system, whether it's in the city of Milwaukee or elsewhere. In fact, when I had a meeting that dealt with Jackson Park, it was overwhelmingly that the constituents of the area wanted the Sheriff's Department to patrol Jackson Park along with the city of Milwaukee, that they didn't want to see a diminishment in the services there. And so the public sees the exact proposal as a reduction in public safety when it comes to county parks. They understand, they watch the news, they understand the stresses that the Milwaukee Police Department is under, and they don't see the exec's proposal as enhancing public safety, but reducing it. My only response I'd like to hear from you is, where is the data that you have, and if you can make that available to claim that somehow the city of Milwaukee is overburdened by our park system?
Dr. Colton.
Chairman, supervisors, I will send that after after this meeting. I have that data from the Parks Department that says overwhelmingly most special events are in the city of Milwaukee. When you look at parks like Mitchell Park with the domes, Bradford Beach, Veterans Park, South Shore Park, I believe the Estabrook Beer Garden is in the city of Milwaukee, Cathedral Square. I can go on and on. Most events do take place at in the city of Milwaukee. Secondly, the idea that the sheriff is the second layer of protection is just not true. According to the sheriff's own numbers, he's not patrolling the parks. And municipalities such as West Dallas have said that this is a redundant function and they don't need it. It's actually a distraction for them, and that's why they have signed on to this proposal.
Mr. What do you mean by redundant function? The fact is, the Sheriff's Department patrols McCarty Park in the city of West Dallas, and so does the West Dallas local police department. So if you eliminate the Sheriff's Department from patrolling McCarty Park, that's a reduction in service, a reduction in protection. Public safety is public safety.
Well, we'll take whatever data you're going to share with us, and I'll certainly distribute it. This debate will continue in the budget. Supervisor Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I move to receive and place on file item number two. Okay. The materials related to item number two.
All right, thank you. Inspector Bailey, were there other final comments on Parks Patrol that you wanted to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the last opportunity. I will be brief. To the doctor's point on the straight time hours, forgetting the discussion of the 14 and moving forward, because that's an issue of policy for the board. But looking at the straight time hours, it's a metric measured in a different way this year because we pulled that from as opposed to payroll, we pulled it from our computer dispatch of time spent in the park by officers. But certainly she's raised a question, and I'll prove it out and file a supplemental report with the committee that the committee clerk that the committee can review, and if it's the chair's desire to have me appear at the next cycle, I'd be happy to do so. If not, then that would be the chair's call.
Okay. Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, if this is for the budget, because that discussion is going to be happening next week, then I would like to present this to the inspector so that
I do believe that the timeliness of the response.
I still have the floor, Mr. Chairman. That if this is a budget piece, then the sheriff's office should have it for the budget presentation for next week. And I would think, and knowing the sheriff's office, that they will be able to maybe go point by point in this to refute the fallacies that are listed.
Okay. Supervisor Rainey.
We have a 252% increase in some of the. Can you explain the root of that? 252% increase.
Yes, thank you, Chairman, Supervisor. The increase is based on the hours and the personnel spent in the parks in 13 over 2012, and they bring the numbers back in line with the deployment that you enjoyed in 10 and 11. Our position is that 12 was an outlier year because the sheriff, and because he doesn't like to do things quietly, he told people when he had the opportunity that he felt he was underdeployed in parks in 2012. And it's what we believe is the 11 and 13 are numbers that you can consistently look forward to enjoying. Yes, our position is it would be essentially like three deputies living in parks. I mean, that might be systemically. But I'll have a report submitted to the committee that will fully cure that question.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor. It's ARMED is the acronym. It's the database that we use. A lot of times we'll use the term intelligence division in policing and say, well, we have an intel division. So the division that does it is called the Law Enforcement Analytics Division. So the acronym for that is LEAD. And the database they use is the ARMED database. And I am blanking on that acronym. I would have to get it from the captain, but I'll get it. Correct. It's a system provided by a contractor called Information Builders. They built us a box. They built us a software analytics machine that pulls data from Ceridian, from payroll, from the computer dispatch, from Phoenix, from the reports, from all these various databases, and it coalesces them in one database that we can use to drill into the data. And the acronym that we've created for that is the ARMED system. And I'll have to call my captain and find out, because if I... Correct. That's right. That's right. That's that data I know particularly, Mr. Chairman, is pulled. Correct. We had 32 groups reach out to us, ask us to appear at the groups, or where we went out and solicited an appearance and they accepted our solicitation. And then as a result, a TEU squad went to a generally evening parks or community meeting and made a presentation in relation to parks. Yes, sir. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, yes, that's part of the prepared and printed 2014 Parks Plan. Will include how we reach out to those neighborhoods. And it is also spelled out in the 13th plan, which I can certainly get to you, Chairman, Supervisor. Okay.
I also noticed that there was an incident in which a county employee was sexually assaulted at Lincoln Park.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor, that issue, distasteful and horrendous, was an issue of essentially workplace violence. It was a coworker assault. That's a subcategory of risk. We focus the majority of our efforts on community random violent crime. The primary way to tamp down that type of crime is high visibility uniform patrolling, because that type of crime takes secrecy. Which is the belief that you won't be discovered, and it takes time. You believe that there'll be a window in which you'll be able to engage in the crime and get away. And we feel like if we can attack those two, your opportunities for secrecy and for time, you won't engage in it. The type of crime you're talking about, which is employee-on-employee crime, is different. That's more profiled through interactions at the workplace, the hiring processes, pre-criminal indicators, that hopefully are seen at the workplace and referred appropriately. That type of crime is harder to attack, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. If there are no other questions, the motion from Supervisor Johnson is to receive and place on file.
On the motion to receive and place on file, Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Staskunas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
There are 7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
Thank you. Item 3, please.